the Rada Dynasty podcast. Let's go! Welcome to the Rider Dynasty Podcast with Ryan Bickerstaff, JJ Wenner, and your host, Michael Kloss.
Hello, Riders, and welcome to the Rider Dynasty Podcast. We are just a couple of weeks away from the start of the 2019 NFL season. That means it's time to ramp up, and we've got to get right to it. The crew is here. Yes. Ryan Bickerstaff, I know you're ready. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, not much, Michael. I'm just enjoying this last week of summer break before I'm back in classes full time again. Ready to talk some fantasy football tonight, though.
Yes, sir, and I'm glad you're here. I'm also glad JJ Wenner is here to drop some knowledge. Tell me you're ready to bring it tonight, JJ.
Consider it brought, or broughten.
Consider it broughten.
I'm an English teacher and I can't figure this out, so I'm sorry, guys.
You get a pass. And, of course, our resident Stefania Bell, not as good in high heels as her, but, don't worry, Nick. You've got some time to practice, right? Certified athletic trainer Nick Mirabito, also on the mic with us. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing great, Michael. Just a few more weeks of recording this podcast in heels, and I might just be able to get on Stefania's level.
Well, they look good. Nick.
Yeah, like what color are you rocking today?
They are camouflage today. Camouflage heels.
Oh, it's like for the outdoor enthusiast.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Well, like I said, we have another pack show on our docket. We've got our Nicked Up segment, a breakdown right here of the most talked about injuries of the preseason. We've got a drop for you, Nick. I think you're going to enjoy it.
I'm excited. And for our main segment, we call it our ride or die team. First, we're going to highlight one player from each of the first four rounds based on ADP that we feel are the safest picks in each round. Essentially, this is the squad that you should be the most comfortable after four rounds to go riding with.
And we'll also give you our die teams. And these are the guys we think have possible bust potential, or at least the players the least confident in the first four rounds.
Yeah, that makes sense. But first, let's get to our news deck. One of the, I guess, talked about stories of this past week since we've had our last show was Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon reinstated by the NFL. Definitely another roller coaster here, guys. I would love to hear from everyone really quick, actually starting with JJ. Now, while most Dynasty owners most likely kept him on their team because, you either love him or you hate him, and if you love him, he's probably on your team, right? But from a redraft perspective for the people that are listening, because we're in prime draft time, where would you be willing to take this guy now?
In redraft, I would probably take him maybe around the 8th or 9th round. You definitely want two solid wide receiver starters ahead of him. But I would say right around that wide receiver 3.
Yeah, Ryan.
3 or 4 range.
Ryan has a redraft ranking, so what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm just going to let anybody else in my league draft him. I'm more than happy drafting any of the other very talented players in the league that don't have problems simply staying on the field. So, I'm not even looking at drafting Gordon this year.
I'm glad that you kind of brought that perspective. And Nick, share your thoughts.
I think I lean more on the JJ side of this. I think it's very tantalizing to see him in an offense with Tom Brady. I think it has a lot of potential. But like JJ said, I think you need to have two solid starters in front of him. I don't think you're drafting Josh Gordon to fully depend on Josh Gordon. I think he's kind of a luxury, kind of like how he is with the real life football team.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it better than you guys three wrapped it up. So I will keep it moving. Just to, again, another roller coaster that seems that we continue to talk about. It's been reported that the Cowboys have offered Ezekiel Elliott a contract that would make him the second highest paid running back behind Todd Gurley. Jerry's hopefully breaking out the pocketbook. He did for Jalen Smith. Ryan, I'd ask you, just based on what you've read and how close you are to the action, you know, you just are always on the alerts. Is Zeke close to a deal, do you think?
They better be pretty close to a deal for the sake of Dallas's Super Bowl aspirations this season. If I'm the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm making Zeke the top paid running back in the NFL. He's right now the best running back in the game, and I think he should be paid like it. He's only 24, just entering his prime. He's nowhere near breaking down yet, and he doesn't have an arthritic knee. I don't see what the holdup is at this point.
No, good point. And then our third news story that I would love to touch on is the wide receiver carousel in Arizona. Hakeem Butler injured his hand in the Cards preseason game. I think it was against the Raiders. They ended up cutting Kevin White, who's a former first-round pick, but has really never done anything. Right, I know. I didn't know how many people are so super excited about him. You know, we always talk about Laquon Treadwell being like the bust. Why don't we bust out the Kevin White references?
Laquon Treadwell's never been hurt.
Yeah. He's definitely been had his, I guess, share of, you know, time in the medical facility. And also, Michael Crabtree actually just got signed by the Cardinals. I want to step it back a little bit and, Nick, put you on and ask you, can you tell us maybe really quickly about Hakeem Butler's injury, because this was in rookie drafts, a player that there was some excitement surrounding him.
Yeah, he was a guy that I targeted in one of my rookie drafts. I really liked Hakeem Butler, but he suffered what's called an avulsion fracture on one of his fingers, and that word avulsion, that means that a piece of bone tore off with either one of the tendons or ligaments that is in the fingers there. And the anatomy of the hand is super, super complicated. So when something like this happens, they're immediately referred to a hand specialist. And in most cases, they need surgery. When there's an avulsion fracture in one of your fingers, sometimes your finger can actually kind of be stuck in either like a fully extended position or bent, where you have to like kind of manually straighten your finger, depending where the avulsion fracture is. So you don't need a degree to tell you this, but that's not good for a wide receiver, right? That's going to be an issue. it really would not surprise me if, unfortunately, it looks like he's going to be sent to the IR. And I think the signing of Crabtree kind of reaffirms that idea. And this is going to be kind of a redshirt season for Butler.
Anybody liking Crabbers this season at all?
You know, Crabtree does come from the Mike Leach school, which is also where the coach Cliff Kingsbury comes from. So they actually might be, he knows the system. Mm-hmm. He might be a good fit. I don't see him being a wide receiver 3 or anything, but he can definitely be a bi-week replacement depending on playing time.
Yeah. It's time in Texas Tech. That's right. I said, I totally remember. It's been a while since, but I don't know that you can forget that. Especially, you know, being so close just to the system. Okay, well, that actually leads us up very nicely to our next segment. Yes, it's that time.
Nicked Up! With athletic trainer Nick Mirabito.
That's right, you heard it. Time for Nicked Up! Oh, I thought that was pretty awesome sounding, Nick. So we're going to get right into it. Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf reportedly needs knee surgery, but Pete Carroll says that Metcalf, quote, won't be out long, end quote. Can you shed some light on this injury? And really, is Pete playing? I feel like he always does. I mean, really, how long do you estimate Metcalf might be out?
Yeah, so Pete Carroll, like, you know that one meme? I think that's what the kids, I think that's what they call it these days, where it's that dog, you know, in like that burning building and it says everything's fine. That is Pete Carroll.
Yeah, this is fine. This is fine.
Yeah, exactly. That is Pete Carroll. It doesn't matter the situation. Pete Carroll is going to be positive in front of the media. It really doesn't matter. The Seahawks haven't provided any details on the specifics of the injury, but look, no surgery is worth completely brushing off as nothing. Anytime a rookie sustains an injury that sets them back a little bit, I always have concerns about them starting the season. So it would not surprise me that if he's cleared to play, they might kind of try to ease him back in. I think that Metcalf is an interesting case because people, you know, they're so such in awe of his physique and were so impressed at the combine, but he's already dealt with an oblique strain and now there's this knee issue. More and more, I truly start to think that, you know, despite his impressive stature, he might not nearly be as functional as you really need to be a star in the NFL.
All right, so we're going to move on to a big headline here. Derwin James is set to miss 3 to 4 months. The rookie earned Pro Bowl and All-Pro honors last season. So this is a huge blow for the Chargers. Is there any chance they get him back earlier than predicted?
Yeah, so from what I understand, Derwin James has a fracture of his fifth metatarsal in his foot. As you may have heard this before, a Jones fracture. I know Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, and a couple other NFL players have sustained this type of thing. And in his case, he previously had surgery at Florida State to repair this type of injury. And now, over time, it's cropped back up again, and the screw has actually started to move from that original surgery. So now the surgeon needs to go in, remove the screw, and replace it with a completely new one. And in doing so, that type of surgery, sometimes you have to actually break that bone again to realign it. According to the research for this type of injury, the longer you wait to play, the better. So I would expect this to take the full 3 to 4 months that was reported. It's going to be tough for him to get back earlier than that.
Absolutely, and you don't want to rush a nice young player like that and end up going through a few seasons of back and forth injuries. Speaking of back and forth injuries, can you give us any updates on the Andrew Luck injury saga? I know it's the one big injury to watch as it affects the entire Colts offense. We did see him doing some pregame, moving around, throwing the ball. He looked pretty good. He didn't seem to be favoring one leg over the other. So what's going on?
Yeah, I think this is the one we're all kind of looking at here. I'm an Andrew Luck owner, so this whole thing stinks. On Tuesday, Colts head coach Frank Reich said, quote, "Really no further updates. All we have right now is a combination of full speed movement and pain threshold." And that kind of talks to what you were talking about there, JJ. You saw, you know, him working out, doing some drills there, and it really comes down to pain threshold. So, you know, I'm not Andrew Luck, so I don't really have any further update on how he feels. Like I said last week, I think you have to be concerned. The Colts have said that they're not going to play him until he's 100% healthy. And you have to remember that Andrew Luck is a guy who has already said that he's going to listen to his body. Remember that terrible thing that he went through his shoulder? I'm sure that affects him mentally at some point. So he's not going to put himself back on the field until he feels 100% healthy. So until we get any further update, I think you have to be concerned with Andrew Luck moving forward.
Appreciate that, Nick, too. And I want to celebrate a win of yours as well. Last week we talked about Darius Geis, how I was a little, you know, gun shy about him. And you said, hey, don't worry about him. And guess who's playing in a preseason game tonight? 11 carries, 44 yards. Darius Geis is back. So you're allowed to pimp your wins, okay? If not, I will pimp them for you.
That's why they pay me the big bucks, Michael. I don't wear these. I didn't pay for these camo heels with just the scraps from my piggy bank.
I'll have to Venmo you some cash for maybe some like nude or black heels or something like that for next show.
Love it.
All right. That was Nicked Up with Nick Mirabito. Next up for us, we're going to get into our ride or die teams. JJ, I would love an explanation here. Can you really break it down of what exactly we're going to do?
Yeah. Any experienced fantasy player will tell you the same thing. The main rule of your draft is do not mess up your first four picks. Although drafts cannot be won in the first four rounds, they can be lost, right? You make a bad first or second round pick, a guy goes out for the year with injury, your draft is out the window. So what I asked you guys to do was to go through the first four rounds according to ADP and select the player in each round that you felt was the safest. no helmet issues, no mysterious ankle issues, no a-hole coaches saying Zeke who, or owners, I should say. But we are picking players that we will all ride with. And of course, we will also then pick the players in each round that we would rather die than draft onto our teams. These are the players that we believe are the most likely to disappoint you, much like my mother thinks of me.
Oh, no.
Michael, will you kick us off?
I will. And can you remind me what ADP we're using so maybe people can follow along and kind of understand if they want to look back while they're listening?
I thought you were going to ask me to remind you of why my mother thinks I'm a disappointment.
I mean, you could do that if you want.
No, I'll wait for my therapist. I went to RotoViz and I used their ADP tool. And so we're using MFL ADP.
Gotcha. Well, I will, like I said, help you out and kick us off. The 12 players in round one are Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Zeke, Hopkins, OBJ, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, and rounding out number 12 on the ADP is Le'Veon Bell. So my choice for ride is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. He's missed one game in his, six-year career. I think that's pretty good. That's what I can – all I can ask for. Totaled 24 touchdowns in his last 2 years, 5,425 yards in the last 4 years. You look at the QBs that he's done it with: TJ Yates, Brock Osweiler, Brian Hoyer, Tom Savage, Hall of Famer Ryan Mallett. Of course, I'm kidding. He is QB proof, right? And he's got a great quarterback now that is better than all the names I just listed in Deshaun Watson. He had a career year last year. I believe the NFL is crediting it with no drop passes, so I'll go with that. To me, he is as safe as they come. So I'm going to kick it over to Ryan. Who are you riding with in round one?
I'm going with Alvin Kamara here. He was the top running back in fantasy during Mark Ingram's absence last year, and he's finished as a top four runner in each of his first two seasons, despite sharing the backfield with Ingram. This year, the Saints have replaced Ingram, who's now in Baltimore, with Latavius Murray. And while Murray's a good running back, he's no Mark Ingram, and he's no threat to eat into Kamara's workload. Kamara's career fantasy points per game average is 21.7. Which is pretty nice, and I'm predicting an even larger role for him in 2019. I'm also predicting he will rush for over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career as the no-doubt feature back in New Orleans, and he even has the athletic potential to achieve a 1,000 type season. Will he do that? I'm not sure, but Kamara will have no problem finishing in the top four again, and I even think he has a realistic shot at finishing number one. Who do you got, JJ?
All right. I am going with Mr. Consistent Michael Thomas. I find that he's overlooked by Dynasty owners as they discuss the top options in the draft. One of my fellow teachers was asking me who they should take at the fifth overall pick. And they were talking about, you know, Adams, Juju, Hopkins. And I said, Michael Thomas. You know, he's repeatedly delivered for your fantasy teams. He's put up great stats. I think he is also going to prove, like Hopkins, to be QB proof. I think that if you pick Michael Thomas, you are going to be perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, I think he's really, really good. I can't disagree there with Michael Thomas. But the person that I am going to be riding with is going to be Devontae Adams. And I don't remember where I saw kind of a version of this stat, and then I went through and kind of looked at some of the stats from last year. Did you know if you took Devontae Adams' worst game in PPR last year and you extrapolated that over a 16-game season, he still would have been wide receiver 13 in PPR? His worst version of himself was almost number one receiver in 12-team leagues. That is insane to me.
Gotta
that blows
that.
My mind. And, you know, I think if you draft Devontae Adams, it's easy money. Like, he's money in the bank. the worst version of himself is a wide receiver too. So Davante Adams, give me him.
All right, and we'll recap this at the very end. Those are our rides for round one. We're going to start filling out our die teams here. Remember the players that we are least confident about each round. So I'll kick it off again, and I think that it's obviously Melvin Gordon here, right, guys? It looks like the Chargers and Gordon are just too far away from a new contract. It does appear he'll hold out. Really, I think it's important for people to know that this is a very different situation than the Lev Bell holdout, right? Because Gordon is under contract as opposed to Bell from last year, who was tagged but unsigned in Pittsburgh last season, Gordon can be fined. I think the number's up to like $30,000 per day that he's absent during the preseason and regular season. So that other huge difference in Gordon's situation compared to Bell, and this is according to the Sporting News, is because Gordon is signed for one more year, the Chargers can toll his contract if he no-shows the season and then keep $5.6 million salary in force for the 2020 season. I really hope they get it figured out, but as of tonight, it's not looking great.
Yeah, I have to agree with Michael here. It has to be Melvin Gordon. Aside from the contract issue, which Michael just covered, selecting Gordon in the first round sort of feels like settling for Wendy's when I really wanted five guys. Like, you know, he's the guy that you get when Zeke's off the board, Barkley's off the board, McCaffrey's off the board. He's like the consolation prize. You know, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, James Conner, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, all five of those guys are from our upcoming round two tier, and I would take them all easily over Gordon this season. He's the least efficient player in this first tier. He is a career 4 yards per carry player. He's only ever eclipsed 1,000 rushing yards once. He's missed time in with injuries in three of his first four seasons. And he's heavily dependent on touchdowns, which is the least predictable statistic in fantasy. And, you know, as we've already said, who knows when he's going to play this year or where. I'm passing on Gordon.
Great. Now I'm hungry and angry about Melvin Gordon. I can't believe I'm about to say this, and I apologize to all of our listeners, but I agree with Michael and Ryan.
Yes!
He is the one player in round one who I have no desire to draft. The Chargers are cheap. I mean, aren't they the only team where a player, Eli Manning, refused to go?
Yeah.
He refused to go there. I think he may lose multiple games before this whole holdout is settled. And they also have the players to make it work without him. So, yeah, I'm out. No, thank you.
Yeah, look, I think Melvin Gordon is the obvious choice, right? But this would be really boring if we all chose the same person. So the first member of my die team is one Mr. Le'Veon Bell. I'm sorry, JJ. I hate to say it. But, you know, I just wonder how that patient running style that Bell, you know, he's known for, people love it. I wonder how that translates behind the Jets offensive line. Pro Football Focus ranked the Jets offensive line as the 28th ranked O-line in the NFL. And I don't know if those two styles mix together. And I really like Sam Darnold. I think he's a nice young player. But if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, priority one is going to be to stop Le'Veon. I think he's going to see a lot of loaded boxes, and quite frankly, I don't believe in Adam Gase as a coach to scheme him toward more production. So, yes, I think Melvin is up there, but I'm going to put Le'Veon as the first member of my die team.
So was the PFF ranking for this year or last year?
Pretty sure it was this year. I went on the Google, and it talked about that new – who's their new offensive lineman, JJ? You're a Jets fan. Yeah, but he's old and coming out of retirement. I don't believe in him. Who's the – there's you guys signed another guy, right? It starts with an O.
Osemele?
Yeah.
We have a couple multi-syllabic linemen who we signed.
We?
You
on the team?
No, look, I'm on the management.
Okay, I'm just telling you what Pro Football Focus said. I don't think their offensive line is very good, so I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell there.
Yeah, that's a bad choice. Anyway, Michael?
What do you say we go to the second round there? Ryan, can you keep the train going? Let's first start off with the players that we are picking from our ride or die in the second round.
Absolutely. The 12 players in round two are Joe Mixon, James Conner, Patrick Mahomes, David Johnson, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Travis Kelce, Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper, and George Kittle. So my ride player for round two is Julio Jones. Julio has had five consecutive seasons of 1,400-plus yards, and that includes a 2016 campaign where he missed two games. His touchdown numbers were up last year. He had eight, and no one on that team is going to eat into his target share. You know, Jones joked this offseason. I think he was joking, at least, about going for 3,000 yards this year. I don't know about that. I think he's talented enough to be a 2,000-yard receiver, but let's aim for his first 1,800-yard season since 2015. Julio has averaged 163 targets per season since 2014. Matt Ryan has averaged 583 passing attempts in the same time frame. I have them projected for 180 targets and 600 passing attempts, respectively. 180 targets multiplied by last year's reception percentage rate of 66.5% for Julio is 120 receptions. 120 receptions multiplied by his career average yards per reception rate of 15.4 yards is 1,848 yards. Throw in his career average of six touchdowns and you have 340.8 PPR fantasy points. And this scenario is so possible, it seems likely. So because of that, Julio is the safest player to me in this tier.
Man, does anybody feel like they just went to school in math class?
Yeah, that's a lot of math. It's a no-brainer, but that took a lot of brain power.
I am super impressed, Ryan, but my head hurts after that.
That was very.
I have a stats class coming up this semester, just warming up a little bit.
So you're saying we have more to expect of that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Fantastic.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Love Matt. So my round two member of my ride team is going to be Travis Kelce. He's been tight end one every single year for the last 3 years since 2016. And I don't see him stopping anytime soon. I believe, you know, at that two spot, you could kind of, it's kind of a toss up if it's Zach Ertz or George Kittle. But I think it's very clear that Travis Kelce is in a tier of his own. I don't think if you asked anyone who their number one tight end was that they wouldn't say Travis Kelce. Like we said earlier, you need to get the first couple of rounds right. And Travis Kelce is an incredibly safe selection. So I think he's a guy that you should draft, set it and forget it, and you will be good at tight end for the entire 2019 season.
Yeah, Dick, to repeat my blurb from last episode when we did tight ends, over Kelce's career, he has averaged 116 targets, 82 receptions, 1,050 yards, and six touchdowns per season. He has the same offense back, maybe added a weapon in Hardman and Darwin, actually. He is going to be Mahomes' number one target in a pass-happy offense. He's 29 and rarely misses time. He's our consensus pick for the number one dynasty tight end. You can't go wrong drafting Kelce in round two.
No, great pick from the both of you. I'm going to go, not too different, because I'm torn between Julio Jones, as Ryan stated, and Mike Evans. So since Ryan went with Julio, again, hard to disagree. I'm going to just take Evans here for the sake of argument because I feel like he's a lock for 1,000 yards every season, maybe even 1,200. 13 touchdowns in the last 2 years, right? But he could easily get, 12 in 1 year. He's done it on two separate occasions. I'm liking the Bruce Arians offense. I like the number one guy in a Bruce Arians offense. I think that they're not equipped to run the ball whatsoever. So I will take the lead wide receiver in an offense that will throw a ton and, by my estimation, figures to be down fairly often. So those are our rides for round two. I'm going to continue with our die guys here. And I'm kind of dying on the hill of David Johnson. The argument that I want to talk about with David Johnson, because I know there are a lot of truthers out there. Poor offensive line, right? There's the possibility that Cliff Kingsbury goes to the air, dials up a lot of plays when they're down to compensate, just try to get back in the game. I still also think Arizona's going to be poor. And, you know, like I said, they could be down a lot. I kind of think back, too, to, you know, the Minnesota Vikings of when Adrian Peterson had, like, that, what, like, almost set the record. And, like, Percy Harvin was, like, the leading receiver with, like 600 or 800 yards, something like that. And he was great with, like, a Christian Ponder, right? But, again, this is not that Minnesota Vikings team. I would couple it with the fact that, you know, quarterbacks like Kyler Murray tend to check down less because, duh, he's running, right? He's going to tuck it and run. So there's just a fair amount of risk of drafting a running back on a bad team. He's just not the epitome of safety to me here.
Oh, I like DJ this year. I think he's going to be utilized a lot more and in a lot better ways. I think you're going to see him catching a lot as a receiver and maybe not just running it up the middle for 3 yards. And Kyler isn't, I know he runs, but he's not a running QB. He's mobile. He is always looking for the pass first. You know, he's not Josh Allen. Dear God, that guy looks at one receiver and then runs away like, like he's scared. But I don't know. I kind of like DJ.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of...
I'm just not my favorite.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with Michael here, actually. I'm DJ is one of the... I can't shocking. Quite place him in my redraft rankings. I'm having a difficult time with that. But I'm going to go with Amari Cooper as my die player here. As much of a Cooper fan as I am, there's absolutely no way I'm drafting him in the second round, especially not with Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Keenan Allen, who are all receivers I have ranked ahead of Cooper going into the third round. I'd rather draft a quarterback or tight end instead of Cooper here, and I don't like to address those positions until the seventh round or later. It's common knowledge at this point that Cooper is inconsistent and will have several weeks where he straight up disappears. I've said before on the podcast that I believe in Cooper, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do with a full season in a Cowboys uniform, but if the price of admission in 2019 is a second-round pick, I'm sitting the show out.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I do not like Amari Cooper. He's never been a consistent producer in fantasy. Like you said, he'll have amazing games and then completely disappear by having several horrible games in a row. I think I'd much rather see him dressed up as a cowboy than in a Cowboys uniform when it comes to Sundays. But to me, he's the Derrick Henry of wide receivers. Ouch. And I don't mean that in a good way.
And don't forget, too, Nick, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder here, but with that plantar fasciitis, there might actually be a scenario where he's not ready for week one. Right? And you've got to find another option. That's a tough injury.
Yeah, that's completely possible. You're right. He still hasn't practiced since last week when we talked about this. If that continues, you know, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. That could definitely limit him for sure. But I'm going to talk about the player on my die team here in round two. And I think this might be a little controversial. I think it's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
What?
Look, like I love everything about this guy in real life. The arm, the mobility, the Kermit the Frog voice he's got going on.
That voice is awful. I heard it on the radio the other day and I was like, who the hell is that talking? It's horrible.
It's part of the charm, you know? It's great to have in your franchise quarterback. But look, I think it's criminal to take him in round two. I think it's criminal to take any quarterback in round two. Unless you're in a super flex league. And for the sake of this exercise, we're talking, what, 12-team PPR league, right? You can get guys that are still going to produce, still be top 3 to 5 quarterbacks in much later rounds. So I think you'd be insane to take Patrick Mahomes in the second round.
Nick, you ignorant slut.
Breaking down to the old
Chevy
SNL,
Chase.
Yeah.
The directions were to pick someone by ADP from each round who you are the least confident in. Mahomes will be a top 3 QB. How can you not be confident in Mahomes? I get it. I wouldn't draft a QB early. But if I did draft Mahomes here, I would be confident in him. I mean, just listen to the... You're supposed to be like a TA now. Follow the instructions.
Look, JJ, I get it. I understand. I'm confident that if you take Patrick Mahomes in the second round, it's a big mistake. Wait on quarterback. Load up on other positions early. The only way he's worth the second rounder is if he duplicates last year. I love me some Patty Mahomes. I think the odds of him finishing in the top three of quarterbacks is really high. But I'm not confident that he can duplicate last year. I think he's going to regress a little bit. So guess what? Patrick Mahomes, in this context, can't ride with him. He is on my die team, dead to me.
Dead to you. That is intense, man.
Harsh.
Dead to me. Only in fantasy. Real life, I love him. I love that voice. A lot of charm.
I love you too.
You better watch out with Miss Piggy. She's gonna come and like just karate chop the hell out of you. All right, let's cease bad jokes. That, I guess, never happens with me. Go to the third round. Nick is gonna give the rundown on who we have to choose from, and then of course who we like with our ride team and who we like for our die team. So round three players, Nick.
Yeah. So for round three, we have Stephon Diggs, Josh Jacobs, Keenan Allen, Zach Ertz, Adam Thielen, Leonard Fournette, Kerryon Johnson, Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, Kenny Galladay, Aaron Jones, and Marlon Mack. There's a long list there, 12 players. I really like, of that list, Keenan Allen. I'm going to ride with him. I know I haven't chosen a running back yet, but if I walked away with Adams, Kelsey, and Keenan, my first three picks in a PPR league, I would be ecstatic. Keenan is a PPR machine. And he's not injury prone, by the way. I can't say that enough. Prior to that freak lacerated kidney in 2015, he was wide receiver 4 before he went out. Then he missed 2016 because of that torn ACL. And then he followed that up as wide receiver 3 in 2017 and wide receiver 12 last year. I'd be more than comfortable with Keenan as my wide receiver 1. And if I got him in the third round, I would consider that a full-on steal.
Especially if Melvin Gordon misses time, the Chargers are going to be throwing a lot.
Absolutely.
All right. So my player, I want to make this reference. All right. So you go to a decent steakhouse, right? You order like a $20, $30 steak. You know, you sit back. It comes to you. They lay it right in front of you. It just looks absolutely delicious. You cut it open. You take a piece. It's perfectly cooked. It's not the best steak in the world, right? But you take a bite. You forget about your nagging wife and your kids on your phone or the crying kids. Just you forget about work. You just enjoy a wonderful piece of medium rare goodness, which, by the way, order your steaks medium rare. It really makes difference. Okay. That reference to me is Brandon Cooks. Okay. It's hard for me not to take a guy that can average around 115 targets, tally over 1,000 yards for the past 3 years on three different teams, right? Another year with the Rams, especially in a season that maybe the Rams don't really depend on their running game that much with who knows what's going to happen with Gurley. I know that they've got Brown and Henderson too in the stable, but, maybe they throw a little bit more. I just don't feel like I have to worry about a bust with him. And you're really drafting him as your wide receiver too, that you can literally just pencil in. You know that maybe he might have a couple up and down games, but he's going to produce over the season. Sorry to make you more hungry, JJ.
Yeah, once again. But when you're describing that scenario and you mentioned a nagging wife, like horrible children, your wife doesn't listen to this. Does she, Michael?
She's not gonna listen to this one, at least. I'll make sure she doesn't.
And isn't it her birthday?
I didn't say she was a nagging wife. I just said the proverbial nagging wife.
Oh, right. My wife isn't nagging. I love my wife.
As she smacks you over the head as she walks by?
Maybe. So I think it is crazy that my top two choices in this round are both wide receivers for the Vikings. I would be comfortable taking either one, but I'm personally leaning towards Adam Thielen over Diggs. But again, I'd be happy with either one. Thielen has shown what he can do as the focus of the offense. And even during his, quote, horrendous second half of the season, and horrendous is in quotes because it wasn't horrible, he still put up wide receiver three numbers. We're in the third round. That's his floor. So I would definitely take Thielen in this third round and feel perfectly fine.
Yeah, I love me some Adam Thielen. JJ, I completely agree with you. Ryan, what do you think? Who's your round three rider?
A strong argument can be made for Zach Ertz here, but since I like to wait on selecting a tight end and JJ went with Adam Thielen, I'm going with Stephon Diggs. He played in 15 games last season and still finished wide receiver 10, and I'm actually predicting that Diggs and Adam Thielen will switch places this year, meaning both will still have huge years, but I think Diggs is going to be better. At the very least, his role will remain unchanged. So we're looking at getting a top 10 receiver in the third round, which makes him, to me, the safest pick of this group. I have him projected for 100 receptions, 1,350 yards, and 9 touchdowns, which equates to 283 PPR fantasy points.
Now, do you think it's going to be they're going to switch roles like a Freaky Friday? Or they're going to both piss in the same, like, water fountain? I forget which movie that was. it's not going to be a literal switching,
no,
right?
No,
like,
I just...
Yes, JJ, it's going to be a literal switching.
That would be awesome.
Because I think they, like...
That would be a...
That would be pretty cool. I agree. I think Thielen had 153 targets last year to Diggs' 149. So I think Diggs's career has this pattern. In his rookie season, he averaged over 13 yards per reception. And then in his third season, he averaged over 13 yards per reception. And then last year he was down again in his fourth season, or is he going into his fourth season? Anyway, the way the pattern plays out is this year he is in line for another above 13 yards per reception average if the pattern continues to play out, which I'm predicting it will, because why not? I'll take that bet.
Okay. So everybody went on their ride. Let's flip it over and go to die. Mine is fairly simple. Not too complicated. I'm still a little bullish on Leonard Fournette. I am going to skip this whole durability headache. Again, he missed 8 games last year, and when he returned, he wasn't wildly productive, right? It's just not the production that I want to be counting on in the third round.
Yeah, it has to be Leonard Fournette for me too, except I'm not bullish on him. He was a first-round pick in a lot of leagues last year, and how'd that work out for people? He was a running back 40. Yes, he dealt with injuries, but I mean, even TJ Yeldon was a far superior fantasy option. He finished 22nd. And if you had Yeldon in redraft, you probably were able to pick him up from the free agency. So, I don't know. The offensive line in Jacksonville isn't great, and neither is the other offensive talent around him. So, I'm thinking that Fournette could see a lot of stacked boxes this year, which really doesn't look good for his career average of 3.7 yards per carry. So I'm kind of asking myself, how many carries will he need to receive to play up to his ADP, and will he even receive that many? Throw in the 3 to 4 games he'll miss with an injury, and we have an unreliable fantasy back who I'm not willing to spend a 3rd, 4th, or 5th round pick on.
Yeah, and don't forget Pop Coughlin. He won't keep his hands off the Jaguars, and Fournette is not his favorite player. I don't trust him at all. Leonard Fournette is my die player.
You guys aren't even like the least. I mean, again, he is my die player, but is there any optimism whatsoever?
I mean, yeah. Is there a chance that he is healthy and gets all the goal line work? Absolutely. Nick Foles is there. I like Dede Westbrook. I think they might have actually a solid passing offense and he can put up numbers. I don't trust him, though.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I mean, there is a non-zero chance that's going to happen, but... Yeah.
I don't trust him either. I think, or if you remember, we were doing our running back rankings. I talked about how he admitted that in the offseason he was not taking care of his body the way he should have. Like, that is not something you want to hear from a professional athlete. So, look, I don't think there's much to add from what everybody said. I agree with you guys. I think it's pretty clear that Leonard Fournette should be on everybody's die team. But another guy that I just want a quick hit on that's temporarily dead, just for a little, is T.Y. Hilton. For now, until we get any positive news for Andrew Luck, Hilton is dead, with possible zombie potential, however, for when Luck comes back.
Zombie potential? What is this, Easter Sunday?
Oh, shit.
No?
Oh my gosh.
No? Too much? All right, I'll go a different direction.
No.
Nick, you should be used to disappointing people by something failing to rise.
Wow,
dude, JJ's my mother listens to this.
No? So, what happened right, to this contract between Nick and JJ?
Oh,
yeah, this thing has expired. That is pretty
cool. Look, he came after Le'Veon.
Violation.
And Ryan, you're on my side. We're founders together, baby.
JJ, you're just mad that Pro Football Focus doesn't like Le'Veon Bell. I threw that link in the bottom of the Google Doc. By the way, why don't you take a peek at that? It's this year.
Yeah, I saw it and I hate you. Anyway, so that's going to do it for our third round ride and die teams. Let me tell you about the guys going into round four. So the 12 final players are Sony, Damian Williams, AJ Green, Derrick Henry, DJ Moore, David Montgomery, Robert Woods, Calvin Ridley, Deshaun Watson, Devonta Freeman, Darius Geis, and Chris Godwin. Now, for me, this is my first running back. David Montgomery is young, and I think this is a good place to pick your first running back of the draft. He's the lead back. He's going to give you both a running and receiving threat. Matt Nagy just said this week that he, Tariq Cohen, had too many touches last year. I can't imagine being Tariq Cohen and being happy hearing your coach say that. But I have every confidence that David Montgomery is the rookie to roster this season, especially in redraft leagues.
Yeah, I have to agree, JJ. I really like David Montgomery a lot this year. And in my real drafts, when I'm picking in the fourth round, I'm either taking David Montgomery or DJ Moore, depending on which position I need a second option at. But I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson as the safest of this group. He's just entering his third pro season, and Watson's going to continue to improve and climb up the NFL's QB hierarchy after finishing in the top five last year with 331.9 fantasy points despite being sacked 62 times. Another finish in the top five is not only possible, but likely.
The only thing about Deshaun Watson, and I agree with you, and I don't know why I have this feeling about him, I always feel like he's about to get hurt. And maybe it's because, like you said, he got sacked 62 times.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Like, I don't know. But yeah, I actually just picked up my first share of him. And I'm excited for this season just to watch and cheer for him.
Yeah, and I will say, JJ, I think the sack numbers are something to be obviously concerned about with Deshaun Watson. But as far as him staying healthy, he did a really great job last year coming off of that ACL, and I think we definitely need to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Although I do understand, you don't want your quarterback taking all those hits, but I think he's done a pretty good job.
All right, my turn. As the resident Damian Williams truther,
oh dear God,
I've struggled this week in preparation for this show because I was already, I had an argument prepared of putting Damian Williams on my ride team. I had the argument that Andy Reid has produced the top 16 back in 16 of the last 20 years. But I can't stump for him whatsoever. And I'm kind of taking this time to, drown in my own tears, I guess. Because it kills me because I'm not 100% confident in him. Definitely not in Dynasty. I'm struggling in redraft. Because, our most pressing goal today about this show was to say who we're the most confident in. And I don't think it's logical to extrapolate that small sample size, even in a great offense, to a 16-game season or more when he hasn't shown that he can't do it consistently. So, Ryan, you're going to talk a little bit about him a little bit later. Horrible foreshadowing for me, but I'm going to say again, give me Watson or Montgomery as the safest in this group. I know Ryan just spoke about Watson. JJ, you did a great recap of Montgomery. So in the words of TLC, I'm just going to be on the passenger side of my best friend's ride on this one.
Man, I haven't been this upset over a breakup since Bennifer.
I mean, I'm not, again, I'm not saying that I'm breaking up with him. I'm just saying I cannot give advice saying that I'm the 100% confident in somebody at this stage in ADP, right? I would love to have him cheaper. I can't tell you that I'm riding with him. So maybe we're on a break.
Don't worry. It's him.
As right, Goop said, have a conscious uncoupling.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
A conscious uncoupling.
Okay,
I like that.
All right,
I
will ride.
So
with
I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the guy that I am riding with here in round four. I almost chose David Montgomery, but I am going to go with Devonta Freeman. And I know what you guys are going to say. You know, Nick, you're the injury guy. How can you not be concerned with Devonta Freeman? And yes, I know he battled an injury all last year and basically missed the entire season. But think about this. In 2015, he played 15 games. He was running back one. In 2016, he played all 16 games, running back six. In 2017, he only missed two games, finished running back 13. Look, right now, he's completely healthy. He's come into camp with no restrictions. He's completely healthy. There's been good reports of him coming out of camp. He has zero competition. Tevin Coleman is gone. Ito Smith stinks. Brian Hill and Quadri Olsen are there, but like, who cares? You know, he has no competition. So I think at this point, if I got Freeman in the fourth round, I would be pretty happy. Plus, there is the extra bonus of having Devonta and a Devonta on your team. So that is why I'm going with Devonta Freeman.
Like, are you worried about concussions at all?
You know, there is obviously a little bit of concern, but his last concussion was 2 years ago. And I believe he's only, has he had two or three in his career? You know, obviously it's a concern, but it's a concern with every football player because it's one of those sports where they hit each other very hard. We talked about it last week. That's Mrs. Wenner's favorite football subject. So look, every single running back has risk for a concussion. It's just inherent with the position. At this point in the draft, I'm okay with taking a little bit of a risk. I am very confident in Devonta Freeman. I'm riding with him. I think he has a lot of upside this year.
Nick, is that a lovely Madison behind you?
that is her. Yes, she is behind me. Nice.
Nick's girlfriend is appearing in the pod on our in the view.
Yeah, good thing the audience can see it.
Yeah. Too. how you doing, Madison? She's like,
there's four of them.
Stop it.
A little known fact.
Oh my gosh.
Nick is dating one of quadruplets.
That is a fact.
I mean, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but in the interest of time and not being explicit, can we continue?
Oh my God, they are children. How dare you speak of them that way?
Nick, are you 18 years old?
I am 23.
Well,
but I
then
am very much over this
doesn't sound like a down to child. He's like, move along, Ryan, save him now.
Right, or Michael, you're doing the editing, right? You're cutting this part out?
No, we're keeping this in.
Awesome.
As Michael takes a sip of beer.
you should have seen my eyebrows going down, too, at the same time. Ryan, step in already. Let's
all
go.
Yeah, we're going to kick off our round four die teams here. I got a little bit of a rant here, and if I end up being wrong, I'm going to look pretty stupid, but this is about Damian Williams. He has 1,626 yards and 15 touchdowns total in his whole five-year career. That's a single season for a pretty decent number of players. So last year, he has a few big games at the very end of the season after every other running back on the Chiefs roster was either kicked off the team or injured, and opposing defenses were literally laughing when they saw who KC was trotting out at running back. And suddenly the 27-year-old who's been a complete non-factor his entire career is the next big thing in fantasy football. And I keep hearing, but the offense he plays in. Right, your point, you know, that logic could apply, it could apply to literally any running back on the Chiefs roster. Williams isn't very good. And if you're going with this argument, you're going with the assumption that he's the featured back for all 16 games or that his tiny sample size from 2018 is sustainable. Williams is likely to be replaced by Darwin Thompson, a rookie, at some point this year. So in the seventh or eighth round, sure, I'll take a flyer on Williams. But in the fourth, no. The amount of alcohol I'd have to drink before I thought that was a good idea would literally kill me, which is why Williams makes it onto my die team.
Wow.
I mean,
Wow. Them's is fighting words.
Like, I mean, you just came with the lightning to my soul is what you did. Like, you just grabbed my heart and you took a bite and you laughed.
It was like a scene from The Highlander and he just chopped off your head.
Did you hear him like getting more and more excited like as he went? Like the next thought came faster than he was ready for. So he was like, oh, I'm going to say this next. This is awesome. I don't
want to admit this, but a little bit of poop came out of me when I was fired up.
Wow. I mean,
that is impressive.
I mean, Ryan, again, I can't disagree. It's tough from a dynasty perspective. It's again, he costs a lot to watch somebody else come out there. But you're going to do that to me. I'm going to try to return the favor to you. I guess I don't have enough fire, I guess, than that. But I mean, I've never been a fan of Derrick Henry. He's on my die team. I'm not going to start now. You know, if you drafted him in a redraft league last year, you dropped him to waivers. You know you did. Like, I'm not drafting him in any leagues, especially not at, you know, this ADP. I would take my chances with Damian Williams 10 times out of 10, really before I even considered Henry. I know that he ended the year, you know, on fire and got to his yardage and touchdown numbers, which are extremely inflated because they were at the very end of the year. I can't invest any capital whatsoever in a player that just a year ago people were dropping. And I'm just not going to take that risk there.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, this isn't about who I like or don't like as players. But for me, this came down to three guys, Devonta Freeman, Damian Williams, or Derrick Henry. I think out of those three, Henry has the most upside. So that left Freeman or Williams. And when I looked at them, and I would much rather have Freeman on my team than Damian Williams. The Chiefs do not need him. If they need an explosive play from the backfield in the screen game, they have Darwin, they have Mecole Hardman, and they have Hill. Those three can also deliver an explosive running play. I can't see a flash in the pan like Williams holding value after this year. And I am not picking Damian Williams in the fourth round in any circumstance. Any.
That is very strong opinion. Sorry, Michael. They're ganging up on you here. But I'm gonna come to your defense for a second.
I'm gonna come
to your defense. No. The man that is dead to me in round four is Derrick Henry. And JJ himself called Amari Cooper the Derrick Henry of wide receivers. Not as a compliment. Derrick Henry is the Derrick Henry of running backs. Like, he's not good.
That's
like,
fantastic.
I don't know what there is to say here. Like, he played well at the end of the year, but how can you possibly count on this guy if he hasn't produced, like, at least an RB2 on a weekly basis, at least consistently over a full season? Plus, you know, he's coming off of that calf strain from the beginning of training camp. And when you think about running backs cutting and having to decelerate quickly, you never like to see any type of injury like that, soft tissue injuries in the lower extremity. It's not good. And like I said before, he's not good. Like, he is not good. So Derrick Henry is dead to me in round four. He has zero zombie potential, and I will not be drafting him in any round because he's the Derrick Henry of running backs.
I mean, I think that's going to be one that's going to stay around for a while. Any conversation about Damian Williams, any conversation about pooping a little, and then the Derrick Henry of running backs. That's I mean, I think we started something here. So those are our ride or die teams. The guys we're going to, again, ride with, the guys that are, quote, dead to us that we're not confident in. I would like to, again, as I said, we're going to do a quick summary. So, Ryan, can I hear your ride and your die teams, please, as a recap?
Absolutely. My ride team was Alvin Kamara, Julio Jones, Deshaun Watson, and Stephon Diggs. And my die team was Melvin Gordon, Amari Cooper, Leonard Fournette, and Damian Williams.
My ride team was Michael Thomas, Travis Kelce, Adam Thielen, and David Montgomery. And my die team is the exact same as Ryan's. Melvin Gordon, Amari Cooper, Leonard Fournette, and Damian Williams.
Wow. JJ, you're a teacher, and I see plagiarism right here. Right in front of me. That's interesting.
I cited it.
I prefer to think that great minds think alike.
MLA? Is that MLA format, I think, there? All right, regardless. Yeah. My ride team was the best one. It was Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, Keenan Allen, and Devonta Freeman. My die team was Le'Veon Bell, Kermit the Frog, a.k.a. Patrick Mahomes.
I forgot about Kermit. We're getting bangers tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely, as someone would say on this podcast. Leonard Fournette as well. And lastly, rounding out my die team is the one, the only Derrick Henry, because I don't have to say it. You guys know. He stinks.
All right. The guys I'm riding with are DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, and then David Montgomery. And the guys that I think are the riskiest picks in each round are Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Leonard Fournette, and Derrick Henry.
You know, and if you notice that, like, our ride teams consisted of wide receivers and Travis Kelce. Like the majority. Hmm. So I think this is a year. I mean, just look at Michael's die team. Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Leonard Fournette, Derrick Henry. Running back, running back, running back, running back. Don't reach for running backs in your draft this year. This is a great year to try a zero RB or at least a wide receiver heavy draft. Take the safe picks in your first four rounds and ride those receptions to a championship.
And with that note, we are going to take off for the night. You can find us again at Rider Dynasty on Twitter and our website, RiderDynasty.com. I think that was a phenomenal show, guys. I really, like, now I'm itching for the season to start, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, it's time for us to say goodnight, so I'll be the first to kick it off. Have a wonderful night, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Catch you in the next one.
Boat drinks.
Thank you for listening to the Ride or Dynasty podcast. If you have enjoyed the pod, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Follow the guys on Twitter at Ride or Dynasty. You can follow JJ at JJ Wenner. Ryan is at BixPixFFB. And Michael is at Michael S. Kloss. Check out our website, RideOrDynasty.com. And remember, we have your back.
Your reputation far exceeds your skills, Mammy Rammer.